Welcome to the podcast.
Come be part of the conversations that happen around my kitchen table.
He's John Brannion, and he's been a stand-up comic for more than 30 years.
She's Amanda McKinney, and she's been my daughter for her whole life.
Our family believes laughter is a gift from God. We often discover it while discussing culture, faith, and family.
So go ahead and pull up a chair, neighbor. Can I call you Carl? There's plenty of room here for you. So Chocolate Knox and Jason Farley, they don't have any sort of bumper music on the front end or the back end. And it just starts. It's just like the conversation starts.
What weirdos.
Well, I kind of like it.
I
sort of liked it. It was a little jarring because I was expecting, especially with Knox, expecting some funky.
You know what you're admitting? You know what you're admitting right now?
No, what am I admitting? I'm afraid.
This is the first time. Oops, I just turned on the Bluetooth and then back off again.
So you probably just destroyed our podcast.
I don't know if there was just a big old noise just now.
Tell me what I'm admitting. Psychoanalyze me and tell me what's going on in my head
you haven't watched myself. It or listened to it before. They've had a podcast a long time and you're just now commenting on the fact that they don't use bumper music, which means you don't listen regularly. That's all.
What difference does that make?
You're not supportive of your friends. That's all.
I love them. And it was great. I will become a more regular listener because they were talking about common law and it made me feel a little bit self-conscious because there was so much smart stuff
content.
In it. Yeah, so much content.
Jason Farley reads a lot.
He is a very smart guy.
He reads all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that you could tell. And Knox was asking a question. It was really fun. They actually have a video presentation, which I knew we could do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to do it with our podcast.
We would need
to actually make a video.
Like on the app, there was a video.
But then Jason would start saying things, and Knox would rub his forehead like he was...
Like it hurt?
Yeah, like he was processing. But anyway, I just, as I was listening to our own awesome theme music, it occurred to me what a blessing it is from God to have it.
It occurred to you that you'd like to get rid of it and just imitate them.
Not every podcast is as blessed as ours is to have its own unique theme music. Mm-hmm. But they're blessed in other ways, like actually having worthwhile content.
So this week, there might be some extra noise in the house at the table.
You might be able to hear it. You might be able to hear that humming noise.
I don't know if it's picking up or not. Mm-hmm. Hum a little louder, Emmy.
Huh?
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 Hum a little louder to see if we can get it on the microphone.
Emmy is doing her very best to not do her schoolwork. She's finding other things to distract herself to keep from doing the one paper that she's supposed to actually be doing.
Well, the reason that they're busier and louder than usual is because I've just done a complete screen detox this week.
If you would like to try something at your house, Carl... That maybe you've never done before. If you'd like to try a different way of living, remove all of the screens and devices from your children's lives.
Well, and it's not
that... It will hurl you into an alternate reality that you probably didn't even know existed.
Completely remove them. Like, I have my phone sitting right next to me, and we've been watching family movie in the evening still, but yeah, they're also using screens for school, which they've always done. Mm-hmm. So they have to go online and watch their lectures, which are streaming video. So yeah, they still have screens, but I'm not allowing them to just fill up all of their downtime with screens in between.
With video games.
Forcing them to think of other things. And so right now what they've been doing a lot is kicking a ball in the house. Mm-hmm. It's some kind of soccer-esque game, and it involves trying to hit each other
with the ball
when you kick it. Mm-hmm. So it's like a dodgeball soccer hybrid. But you also don't want the opponent to touch certain pieces of furniture. Like, different pieces of furniture belong to people. I don't know how it's divided. It's not like you would think. It's not quite as intuitive as I would have made it.
Well, but you're not seven.
But... So, like, you know, the lamp might belong to one person, but the table underneath it belongs to another.
Right, and you can't touch, the ball can't touch those things.
Yeah.
And you can't touch those
the other person's items. They will get cost you a point if you hit the other person's piece of furniture.
I kind of want to play now.
I think that's
kind of want to play that game.
Yeah.
But so, the point is that you're forcing your children to use their creative energies to occupy themselves rather than just going, oh, I'm bored. I'm going to sink my brain into a video game.
And I told them I want them to be the creators and not the consumers. I said, if you want to have a movie, if you want to see a really cool movie, you're going to have to make a really cool movie.
Gotta make a cool movie.
And then you can see the cool movie that you're making as you're making it. But that's, or if you want to read a really cool story, let's write a really cool story and we can read it together. Now we are still reading our read alouds. In fact, we're in the middle of Harry Potter right now. But I said, if you've got some ideas for how to improve this storyline, we're not going to go read fan fiction or watch, spinoff shows on YouTube.
We're going to create it.
We're going to have to make it ourselves.
We're going to make our own.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, Cammy, what can I do for you?
Cammy's here,
buddy. How do we make movies using our tablets?
Well, you can use a recorder. I can give you we gave you a camera for Christmas, so you can use your video recorder.
It says change the battery.
Well, we'll have to change the batteries then.
There's always an obstacle.
It changes. If it needs the batteries changed, then change we shall do.
Always something to overcome.
Yeah. I would actually say probably the hardest part about creating things like
overcoming
stories
and
videos
obstacles.
Is just getting your tools to work properly.
That's true. The hardest part is getting started.
Yeah, because in
the
your mind.
The hardest part is deciding to do it.
You can see the finished product in your mind, but it takes a few steps to get there.
Yep. And along the way, the finished product usually crashes into a ditch somewhere, and that's frustrating because it's not as easy as you thought it was going to be. Anyway, I wonder about, I had an epiphany yesterday at Bible study that the problem that we have in a church is that Christian people are not convicted enough about their faith to actually tell somebody like Paul did, you should imitate my faith. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this at church a couple of times too, but I talked about it at Bible study yesterday with the guys. And I said, there are very few people who will stand up and say, as Paul said multiple times throughout his various epistles, I am your spiritual father. I am following Christ correctly. I should not be rebuked. I am above reproach, and you can follow my faith. You can follow my lead. Do as I do, and you will be okay. And we don't say that in church.
Okay, but where does conviction come from?
Well, conviction that you are correct, that you are convicted that you are right, and what you believe would be good for everybody.
Where does conviction come from?
Where does it come from?
Yes. How do you get convicted about a thing?
Once you realize that it's true, your convictions are strengthened when you know that you're talking about the truth.
Okay, so if you're not convicted, then you're not convinced that you're saying true things.
Right.
So.
Right. If you're not 100% convicted about what you're saying, then there's some doubts that you haven't addressed yet.
Right. But it sounds like you're trying to encourage people to be more convicted and therefore stand up and say, follow me, do as I do. Whereas it's kind of like the other side of the coin from what I've been telling people for a long time, which is notice that you don't know what you're talking about and just shut up.
So you should sit down and be quiet.
Yeah, I've been saying that a long time.
Well, okay. I understand why you would say that. No, what I'm saying is that people should work to get to the point where they are as convicted as Paul was.
Can you work at it? That's what I'm asking. Can you will yourself to know a true thing?
Can you will yourself to know a true thing?
Yeah.
I think you can. No, I don't think you can will yourself. I don't think you have any control over what you believe anyway, whether it's true or false.
Okay.
Your beliefs are what they are. And
right. Sorry, Carl. If you don't have the conviction to know that you can stand up and tell somebody to follow you, then that's just the way it is.
Well, if you're but then the question that you would ask yourself is, why don't I want somebody else to follow me? Why? I think that my ideas about, for example, the girl that settled out of court with Prince Andrew.
Uh-huh.
What's the thing? What's her name? Victoria?
I don't know.
Giffrey, whatever.
I don't know.
Anyway, she was put up as this champion of women's rights, you know, and she's going to stand up, truth to power, she's going to stand up to this powerful member of the royal family, and she's going to find justice for the abuse that she suffered. Uh-huh. And then she settles out of court for an undisclosed amount of money. Well, I am convicted that that is not justice. If you're truly standing up to him because you don't want other people to suffer at his hands as you have suffered, then no amount of money is going to persuade you to drop the case.
Okay. What does that have to do with what we were just talking about?
I'm convicted that that's true. And so I wrote about that, but I had a lot of people that were like, no, you're wrong. She was very brave, and she probably just took the money because that was all she could get. She wasn't going to be able to have any sort of power over this member of the royal family. And so they were expressing their point of view, but they weren't as certain as I was that they were correct.
Really?
Yeah.
Your critics weren't as certain?
Yeah.
I saw some people who were saying that justice is not something that you get to define. So if, like, who are you to say that it isn't justice for her to get a certain amount of money in return for
right.
what
one,
she suffered?
Right. One person was asking if it's the aggrieved, doesn't the aggrieved get to decide when justice was
well,
served?
Well, I would say no, the aggrieved
that's,
doesn't.
That's
but,
what I would say, too.
But how do you know that God didn't decide that that was what she deserved? How do you know that
How
God...
How do I know? Yeah. I don't.
Well, there you go. So you're not as...
Why are we doing this podcast? I don't know anything if you're going to ask that question.
No, but that's the point of what we were talking about before. About
I don't know anything.
Paul knew that he was doing what God called him to do. That
right.
was what you brought up. That
right.
we should all be able to stand up like Paul and say, follow me because I'm following Christ and I'm for certain. And you can imitate me because I'm imitating Christ.
Right.
And he knew that. And he was more certain about it than anybody that I've ever met in modern America.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question then to you was, can you control whether or not you get to that level of certainty? How do you know and how do you maintain that kind of confidence? And you said, I don't think you can.
I don't think you can have that. Well, it depends on what you're talking about. There are certain things that it's easier to be certain about some things.
Uh-huh.
Like your favorite color,
right?
Than it is to be certain about, where certainty comes from.
Right.
I mean,
I know, and Paul wrote about really deep, profound spiritual things too. But that's my point.
But Paul didn't tell us why he was certain. He didn't tell us why he knew that we should follow him.
Right, but you're the one who's trying to like shame people for not having that level of certainty. You're basically saying, hey, Carl, we should be more like Paul and be more certain about stuff. And so I asked you how, and then I popped a big old hole in your certainty on this subject, and now we're
well,
all
you
on
have
the same
be,
uncertain
it's,
plane.
It's, it's, it, no, it depends on the subject. If you, for example, there are Christian people in church who have been to church for many, many years who will not say that Christianity is superior religion
right.
to other religions.
Nor should they if they're not convinced of it. They should not stand up and say stuff that they don't believe.
I'm not suggesting that they should. You should always say true things. But I'm saying if you are not convinced that Christianity is superior to other religions, then... why not? Then what is it that's causing you to identify as a Christian? And that's how you gain certainty, is you ask questions about what you do believe is true, and then compare the answers that you get to the answers that others are giving.
I don't think people are being given any measure of certainty on any subject anymore. I don't think people even have anything to compare it to. Like from their first few breaths on earth they're being filled with doubt and filled with relativism and filled with wishy-washiness and filled with...
Right. That's why I brought it up at Bible study.
They don't have the ability to. But I'm asking you because I don't think that telling them, hey, you know, you've never known anything for sure in your entire life. What do you think about that? They're not going to know what to do with that either.
Well, but that's why I'm saying... That's what I'm saying, Christianity. I'm saying you've got to dig into Christianity. It's rock solid. It's true. It's the only truth. And if you truly believe that, and that's the problem, they don't believe it.
Right.
They don't know what they believe. But we have an environment at church now where we all pretend that we believe this thing. We all sing songs about Jesus, and we tell ourselves, oh yeah, I believe the Bible. The Bible's my authority. When they've never even opened a Bible. They've never even come across, they've never even heard that Paul said, hey, you can follow me. Instead, they don't know any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they haven't thought about it.
Right.
And so that's all I'm saying. I'm saying that we have an environment where people are, they're not convicted that what they believe is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get called out for it.
Right. Yep. And I don't think that they can help it. And I don't think that, I don't know that.
So what are we doing? I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing at church? What are we doing?
Well, there are people who are convicted about things. Few of them. The way is very narrow, but
right.
But yeah, this kind of goes along with what I was talking about with my sisters this week, where people are now coming to me when they realize that they don't know what they believe or why, mm-hmm. and they don't have deep conversations about truth, and they don't know how to even begin to find what true things would be. If there is truth out there, they don't even know how they would seek it. And so then they go, hey, we're going to email the four sisters. We're going to email Amanda or John. We're going to email John Branion and ask him for his opinion on stuff.
Yeah.
And that, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't think that that's... I don't want to be in that role in society where it's like, okay, we have all of these millions of lost people. Because that's what they are. They're lost. They're not convicted. They don't even know what true is.
Right.
And so they realize, oh, I've been groping around here blind in the darkness. So I'm going to rally behind the first, you know, the first person who seems to know where they're going,
mm-hmm.
and just ask them to solve all of my problems, or ask them to put a period at the end of all of my question marks. And, and I'm not, I don't know what to do with that.
You just said that you're not comfortable.
Right. I don't want to be the mama duck.
I don't want to answer the direct questions, but you want to,
right.
You're not opposed to leading asking them more. In a process.
I'm not opposed to asking more questions to show them that I've been doing that same thing for a long time, but I don't want to be the sage or the guru, or the thing I said to Tabby yesterday was, I'm not Solomon sitting on my throne, and
right.
I don't want all of these people coming to me like I'm now the authority. I'm now the person who's going to supply them with all of their, you know.
Right. Well, who does that?
To fix their doubts.
Who does
that's
that?
Why that's why I just asked you, and you were like, point. That's too deep.
No, you asked me where conviction comes from.
Right. Where does certainty come from? How do you know when you believe something? Where does Paul's confidence come from? And how do you get that? Can you?
Well, the thing that
intentionally go and get
okay,
certainty
all
for
right.
yourself.
So if we'll keep it in the realm of faith,
yeah.
The thing that I discovered, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, maybe, and atheists helped me with this, mm-hmm. was, okay, if you don't believe, if what I'm saying is not true, then give me an alternative.
Right.
You know, give me something else that sticks. And if there, it was the lack of arguments, you know, that contradicted Christianity in a meaningful way that convinced me that Christianity is true. But it wasn't one thing. It wasn't one thing that was finally what crystallized it all. But it was an overwhelming abundance of other ideologies that didn't work. You know, that didn't make sense. Atheism doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't just throw out the idea of God. Well, the idea of an eternal being that created the universe, that is fantastic. That is just fantastic. It's like,
right.
I agree. That is, it's a very difficult concept to believe. So what's your alternative? And there isn't an alternative that's any less fantastic. And so those are things that help me be more certain about my, am I absolutely 100% sure about God and what he's like? And of course not. But the alternative is that there is no God, and that's, in my mind, it's more fantastic. It takes more faith to believe that there isn't some sort of rational mind behind all of this. And so that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that you're more certain than Paul was.
Oh, it's not a competition between me and Paul.
I don't think that you're as certain as Paul was either.
You don't think I'm as certain.
And I think that your example that you gave was a pretty bad one, too, as far as the...
Okay, homeschool. Homeschool versus public school. Mm-hmm. I am convicted and convinced that homeschool is a superior thing to do with your children than right. to send them to public
My
school.
Question
and I,
was...
like Paul, would say, you could model your beliefs about school after mine.
My question was, where does your certainty come from? That's my question. Like, is it a feeling? And if it's a feeling, does it come from God? Does it change ever? Does it ever waver? Are there ever times where you aren't as certain about those decisions as others? Because if you're going to encourage Carl, our listener, to do a thing, you need to be able to tell him how. You can't just say, be more certain. And you did say, well, certainty comes from knowing truth.
Right.
But again, like, okay, well, how do you know a truth? Like, it's
degrees. It's like I said, it depends on the thing you're talking about. If we're talking about Christian faith, which is what I'm talking to church people, I'm talking to Carl. If you're going to be a person who professes faith,
right,
then you have to be convinced that that faith that you're professing is
true. They agree with you. That's why nobody's professing truth anymore.
Okay, that's all I was saying. There aren't any people that stand up and say, this is what I believe is true.
That's right. They're all standing up and saying nothing is true. They're all standing up and saying everything could be true. I don't know. I don't know is like the motto of Americans for the last 100 years or more.
Right.
I don't know because it sounds humble and also because they really don't know. And so everybody is looking for more certainty, but they don't know where to get it. And so they're plunging into depression. Everybody's anxious. We're trying to find our answers in, you know, pharmaceuticals or trying to find,
right.
People are going to church looking for answers.
And they're not finding them because no one is standing up like Paul said.
Correct.
And going, this is what is true.
But they shouldn't. Nobody should stand up if they're lying about it, if they don't know what truth is. And you can't blame the people who are all going
okay,
to
I'm
church.
Not talking. I'm not talking to everybody. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm saying all I said was that there are very few people in church who
right.
know what they're talking about and are willing to stand up and say, this is what I believe is true.
Right. And there's not much that we can do about that until...
Except we can be one of the people who knows what they're talking about.
That's why I keep asking you. You can't just choose to be a person who knows stuff. You can't just wake up one morning and go, you know what? I'm going to know things today.
No, but you say, I think the truth exists. I'm going to go looking for
it. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't even think truth exists. Maybe they've grown up in a relativistic culture
You're
where
such a nihilist.
Everybody in the culture is a nihilist. That's what I'm saying. You're noticing the symptoms of a nihilistic culture mm-hmm. where people don't know true things, and you're like, "What's wrong with everybody? It's like you don't know true things."
No, that's not what I said.
They don't.
That's not what I said. I said what they need, what the nihilists need, is somebody who's not a nihilist shining a light.
Okay.
And I believe there's some biblical passages that make reference
okay,
to that.
Okay, but there's only like, what do you do? You said you need to be one of those people. You want Carl to go and be a person who's not a nihilist who can shine the light for
yeah,
those people.
Yeah, I want you to do whatever is necessary to become convinced that what you believe is correct. And if you don't know that if you can't stand up and say, I believe this is correct, then I would agree with you when you say they should sit down and be quiet.
Right. Well, that's what they're doing.
And learn from somebody.
Everybody's sitting down and being quiet now, and you're looking around going, well, where are all the people like Paul? And it's like,
no, where are all the people like me? That's what I'm saying.
There aren't any people who are willing to stand up and say that stuff because it immediately makes them feel the doubts crop up. And
right.
What do you do about doubts? What can you do? You said do whatever's necessary, which is super helpful. Do whatever's necessary to combat those doubts and to know true things. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think
it depends on
what
you're doubting. Okay, you have to be specific. You can't just say, well, so there's doubts. Of course there's doubts in general, but specifically, what? You know, I've had those doubts. What if there isn't a God? What if God's not real? What if the Bible's not true? Mm-hmm. What if Jesus never was really born? But I've addressed all of those. Or, I've done the work to figure out whether or not that's true.
What if I am being arrogant, or I'm one of the false teachers or the wolves and not a Paul? What if I'm not Paul? But if I am deceived like Saul was before he became Paul.
Right.
You know.
And I think that there are, I think there's ways that you can find that out too. You know trees by their fruit. And so you have to be honest enough and savvy enough and ask God for wisdom to look at your own fruit.
Oh, there you go. That's what I thought you were going to say from the beginning. That it's not really something that we can charge Carl to go do. We can't necessarily say, Carl, get busy doing whatever it takes to be certain about stuff.
Okay, I know what the Peaches wants me to say. Carl, what you need to do is get busy asking God to give you wisdom and bring you certainty
and
in your faith.
And to send workers into the harvest, you know, that's another prayer from the
New Testament. No, because those workers don't know that if they're right or not.
That God is the one who ultimately provides you with the fruits of the Spirit, with the peace and the joy and the patience and all these other things that good leaders like Paul need. God is the one that provides you with those. You can't just will yourself. It's like saying, you know, I've got a heart problem or whatever, and so I'm just going to do whatever it takes to fix the heart problem.
Right,
but you can't fix it yourself.
The problem I have with your angle is that it seems very mystical and magical, and it seems very detached from the... from what I believe is the real existence of my own mind, my own ability to reason, my own ability to connect dots. Also, those things came from God.
Right.
And
that's
so,
my point.
So if I'm going to, there are no convictions. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to be convicted about anything. It's impossible to know anything.
Anything, right.
If I don't have faith in my faculties,
right,
to think and to reason, and if I don't have a certain amount of faith in my intuitions, if all of it is untrustworthy, then we can't know anything.
I'm not saying it's untrustworthy. What I'm saying is, as a person who teaches small children to learn new things, I don't understand the process and I don't have as much input or as much effort in the process as you would think. Like, you think a teacher teaches. A teacher is a person who sits down with a person who needs to learn something and teaches them.
No, a teacher just presents information.
Yeah,
but you have no power over how much of it gets absorbed.
How does it get received? But does the student really have a power over what they receive either?
That's, well, this is where, again, I get what you're saying, and I don't disagree with it.
I know that you don't like the mystical, magical elements of it, but I hate to tell you, every single time
everything
a
is magical.
Learns
I know.
A thing,
I've
it's a
I've
miracle.
Written about that before. Everything, yes. Everything is more magic than everything is magic.
That's my point. Like, if you're gonna charge a person with a thing, go.
But
do
how
this con- thing.
How convicted? How convinced are you that that's correct? That everything is magical?
I am convinced that, okay. I have never taught a person a thing in my life. Like, every single time it happens, I go, how did that happen?
Right.
How did that work? I've given birth 4 times, and all 4 times I was like, how did a new person just exist?
Sure, but just because you don't know how it works doesn't mean that you do what some of our family members do and throw your hands up and go, well, we can't know anything. None of this, we can't discern anything.
Right, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, the problem I have with your philosophy, since you've got a problem with the mystical, magical stuff in mine, mm-hmm. problem I have with yours is that you haven't actually said anything. You didn't actually answer any
well,
questions.
Well, neither one of us did.
Right, but you're the one who's trying to pretend.
I'm the one who's trying to say something.
You're the one who's trying to pretend like you are. You're the one who's trying to encourage people
to stand up. I'm the one who's actually trying to give you some sort of substance.
You're trying to be Paul, and you want me to follow you. And I'm like, okay, but here's why the rest of us are not.
I am convinced that there is a God. That's where everything starts.
Right.
God is real, and God exists. Now, from there, that's just step one. You know, you have to take other steps. And if there is a God, then what must he be like? Well, how do you know what God is like? You look at nature, and you go, well, nature is very orderly, and nature is predictable, and nature doesn't change. You know, there are certain patterns that produce themselves. Well, that tells me that the creator of that, that tells me something about the creator. Not everything. You have to infer some things. But you, if you don't believe that your ability to infer things is reliable, well, now you're back in nihilism again.
I'm not even starting with that. Like, you started with atheists, and you said, oh, well, the atheists, they don't even believe there's a God, and that doesn't make any sense. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about even after you've accepted that there must be a creator, and now you want to go and be like Paul, mm-hmm. you want to be a leader, and you want to say true things.
Right.
Well, how can you control that? That's all I'm asking. How can you just decide?
No. I didn't apparently communicate my sentiment. I wasn't saying that I have the ability to create disciples, to make people fall in line. That's not it. I'm saying that we're supposed to be, we're lights. We're supposed to shine our light. That's it.
Right. I'm not saying that you control that people are following you either. I'm asking how you can just decide to be certain. How can you just say,
you can decide to shine your light. You shine a light.
I think that this is what I think. And this is just an opinion or a speculation or a theory. Let's call it a theory. I think that there are people out there who cannot know true things. They can't know them. And it does not matter how much you present information to them. They do not have the capacity to understand it.
What's that based on?
Seeing people out there who don't seem to be able to learn. They don't know things. They're not receiving information. You can go through the same exact routines with, 12 kids to try to help them learn a new concept, and some of them are just not going to understand the concept no matter what you do.
Okay.
And so that's what I'm saying. If you're a person who keeps going to church because you're seeking answers and you really do want to know true things, but you do not feel confident, you do not feel like you know true things, you do not feel, you don't want people following you, you don't even want to be Paul,
there's always
doubts. Feel like a fraud. There's always doubts. What can you actually do to curb that or to stop that?
Okay.
That's my
now
question.
I understand your question. Yeah. So your question is basically, can everybody be a leader who should be? And no, obviously everybody is not going to be able to stand up.
Are you assuming that there are people out there who are absolutely convinced about the truth of their faith and they just won't say it? Is that what you think is
going
on?
No. I think that there are a lot of people who profess to have faith and they don't realize that they don't know what they believe.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of people who are carried along by the religious current.
Okay.
And they, they can put their hands up and they can sing along with the slides.
Right. So that's more people that need to be quiet.
But they're not leaders. Right. And all I'm saying is that the people, that there are not very many people mm-hmm. in church. And I agree with you that most of the people making the most noise should be quiet because they're presenting themselves as
false,
leaders.
Right.
They're presenting themselves as people who know what they're talking about, but they don't know what they believe.
Right.
These are the people who deconvert after a few years at the top of the Christian record labels.
Oh, I know.
It's like, I've got all these problems. I don't even believe in God anymore. It's like, wow. And you used to be telling people that you knew what you were talking about.
Right. I know. That is what I see happening more than anything else.
No, I agree with that.
And so I'm saying that people should sit down and be quiet.
Right.
But really, anytime
I agree with that, but those people are so visible that it causes people who actually do know what they believe.
That's what I'm asking. Do you think that there are people in the church who do know what they believe with confidence, with certainty, and they're just not saying anything?
Yes. I think there are some of those people. Not a lot, but I think there's a few because of cancel culture. Because if you stand up, look what happens to me. I can write about the most innocuous, unimportant thing, but if I say it with conviction, I take all kinds of heat for it.
You think there are people who know what they're talking about. They do not doubt the truth, and they just won't say it.
Yes, because they're afraid.
I think they're afraid because they're uncertain about it. I think they're afraid because they're not totally convinced that what
that,
they're saying
that
is
may be true.
That's what I mean.
I don't know. That may be true, that they... But how is it possible to be 100% certain in your faith and also doubt it at the same time? You've got a double-minded person.
No, that's what I'm asking. I'm I'm asking.
I think there are people who are convinced that they know what they're talking about, but they don't say anything because of the cultural cost of standing up for convictions.
I don't think I disagree with that analysis. Really? I don't think, because if you know a thing with 100% certainty, you're not afraid to say it. That it's with the truth comes the confidence. And that's scriptural too, by the way. Paul says that the reason his conscience was clear was because he had a direct relationship with Christ, and he knew he was secure in his relationship with Christ. He knew the truth, so his conscience was clear, and that's why he could weather any storm. He could be in jail. He could be shipwrecked.
Right,
he could but be.
I think.
If okay, let's.
I don't
take
know.
It.
I would be.
Take it. To
I just
something.
I just think that there's probably people out there who are good, solid. They know what they're talking about, and they're like, you know what? I'm not saying anything because look at the heat that this person's taking.
That's not. Why would you care about taking heat if you were convicted?
If you were convinced that you were right.
Yeah. If you had the conviction of righteousness. If you knew you were on the right team, the right side. You were, it was true.
I think that you are, I think you've got a blind spot here because you're the one who always knows what's going on with people. You're excellent at reading people.
I know, that's why I'm telling you that my reading on this is that the people who are being quiet are doing so because they're afraid they're wrong. They're afraid they're wrong. If somebody tells you, for example, that you are really hungry right now and you know for sure you're not, don't interrupt. If you know that you're hungry, or you're not hungry, and somebody keeps insisting to you, you're really hungry. I know you are. You're really hungry. You're not going to become more quiet. You're not going to get silent and go, well, I just don't want to make this person mad, so I'm just going to go ahead and tell them, you know, yeah, I'm hungry, even though I literally ate 20 minutes ago. You're just going to get louder. You're going to say, no, I know for 100% certainty that I do not want to eat right now. And I will stand by that. I will die. I will go to my grave insisting that the truth about, I don't know much, but I do know this.
I do know I'm not hungry.
And if you give a person that, if you give them one tiny little statement that they can take to their grave, this is the idea of the meaning of man. What is it? Who's the guy who went to the concentration camps?
Viktor Frankl.
Yes, Viktor Frankl. And how
man search for meaning.
Man searches for meaning. It's one thing they know for sure. All they need is one true thing in their lives. And if they have that conviction, if they have that certainty about the thing, they can weather any storm.
Right, right. Okay, I don't, I'm certainly not going to dispute Viktor Frankl. But I think that there are, I think there's a number of people out there who kind of have the not my monkeys, not my circus attitude. And there are people who are like, yeah, I think this is a bunch of hooey, but they sort of roll their eyes and go, I'm not going to get involved.
I know that there are people who don't get involved. You and I both see that there are people
out
there.
They just close the curtains, get on with their life.
But it's not because they're convinced that what they're doing is true. It's not because they have
really?
The
right. You think there are people who, you think that anybody who is convinced that they are correct is willing to go to battle for it?
Yep. Yep. I think that that's the end.
And everybody who's convicted that they're right is willing to die on that hill, so to speak.
Yes. I think the only thing that causes people to shrink back in fear is cowardice.
Is uncertainty.
It's because of uncertainty. It's cowardice because they're going, oh no, it's the doubt. It's the, did God really say, are you really Paul? Can you really trust this stuff? Do you really know what you're talking about? Are you crazy? The reason cancel culture is powerful is because it makes people feel crazy.
It makes people uncertain.
They stand out on their own. They're all by themselves in an island of people saying yes while they're saying no. You know, everybody else around them is chanting one thing while the person in the middle is saying the opposite. And so it causes them to doubt. They go, okay, maybe I don't know what I thought I knew after all. And that is what causes people to resort to inaction. It's paralyzing fear. It's this lack of belief in a thing because
a lack of faith.
They can't go forward anymore not knowing what they thought they knew before. That's what I think. I don't think there are people who are hiding in their houses convinced, 100% convinced, they know a thing, a true thing that everyone else would do well to know too. But that's not worth the battle about it. I think they know that if they go out...
I think you're wrong about that.
If they face the mob, if they face
There's a whole bunch of people, truckers, you know, clogging up Ottawa, Canada right now. I would bet you that there's probably some truckers who are of the same convictions as the ones in the convoy, but they're not willing to participate in the convoy because of the repercussions of standing up for those convictions.
Because the repercussions are going to cause them to doubt. They're not as convicted. The people who are actually convicted, the people who are convinced of the righteousness of being in the convoy, are in the convoy. They're there. They went, and because the final step of that conviction is to act.
Action.
And when you act on the conviction, you're doing it even if your actions cause any number of reactions from
other
people.
So you would say that a person who's like, absolutely, I stand 100% with those truckers. The trucker who stands 100% with the truckers.
Is standing with them.
But does not participate in the convoy himself.
Is not standing with them.
Is not convicted.
Well, and there, okay, let's be specific here. There may be people who physically can't get to the convoy. Like, I'm not saying you can literally, I stand with the convoy in Canada.
But you don't own a truck.
But I don't own a truck. I'm not physically going up to Canada. I have kids to raise. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying if there's a person who's deciding to stay home because it's, quote, not worth the fight, what they mean is, if I were to get any pushback, if anybody were to argue with me, it would make me feel bad. It would make me feel less than convicted, which is why we...
Yeah, I still think that it matters what you're... Some things that I'm convinced I'm right about, but it's not worth the fight to me. You know, if somebody's... grocery carts at Aldi's and putting a quarter...
It's not worth the fight for you because you're not that convicted, Dad. If you're going to use an example like grocery carts at the grocery store, the reason you're not willing to fight...
That's what I've been saying. It depends on what you're talking about. It's your level, how important your level of conviction is.
You're not convicted. You're about to give me an example of something you're not convicted about. You're about to give me an example of something like ice cream flavors that's just a preference. That's not conviction. There is no right way. There's no right or wrong there. So there's nothing at stake. The reason you're not going to fight is because there's nothing to be convicted about, because it doesn't matter. God doesn't care what you do with your card at the grocery store at the end of the day. God doesn't care if you prefer strawberry or chocolate ice cream. You're not convicted because there's nothing there to be convicted about. It's not a justice thing. It's not a righteousness thing. It's not a morality thing. It's just preference. And that's why you're not willing to fight about it. And so that's why I'm saying when things matter...
All right, but it's still truth.
No, it's not. It's not true. It's not true that your grocery cart, what you do with your grocery cart matters. If you're not willing to fight about it, then it's not something that's true or false. It's something that's either, it's gray area, as they say. It's something that doesn't really matter. You haven't thought about this very much, have you?
Who are you?
Why are you frowning at me?
Because I still don't understand why. It's not that I don't understand why. I don't think that it's correct that people are willing to go to the mat for every single one of the things that they believe is true. I think there are some truth. I think there is some truth that is trivial.
There's truth that is trivial. I would say that the truth, the only truth for trivial things, is that they don't matter as much as larger things. I think there is truth.
Well, whatever, however you want to say it, there's some truth.
No, no. I would go to bat for this. I would say there are some things that are not important on eternity's scale, like what socks you pick out. That's always the example I use with my sisters.
Right.
God is not going to send you to hell based on how short your hair is or how long your hair is.
Right.
But we know that that is true based on what was revealed in scripture and based on what things God has said he does care about. And so when it comes to obeying God, that's something we should always be convinced about. We should always be convinced that the things we're doing are true and righteous before God.
And they line up with God's...
And we should always fight over them. System. The reason you're not going to go to bat over grocery carts, Dad, is because God...
It's because God doesn't care about grocery carts.
Does not care about
groceries. I agree with that.
Right.
I agree with that, but it still doesn't make it less...
And that's also why people are not talking about grocery carts at church, and people aren't going and asking questions about grocery carts.
People aren't talking about anything at church.
Well, okay, I'm trying to go back to the beginning where you said that people are looking for answers and nobody's willing to stand up and give them the answers about their grocery carts. And
right.
It's like, well, that's true, because no, because
grocery carts. Well, I didn't actually start with grocery carts, to be fair.
No.
I didn't. I knew not to lead with grocery carts.
You keep trying to change the subject, though. Like you said.
No,
out,
all I'm saying is that when the people who are looking for answers, and you describe those people as people who can't. Who can't know true things by themselves, and it causes them anxiety.
Right.
And they go, oh my gosh, what am I? I'm adrift. What am I going to do?
Right.
They need somebody who does have a truth that they can. Okay. That's why they go to church.
Right. And all of them congregate there, and it's the blind leading the blind because nobody knows where they're going.
You're such a nihilist. I had no idea. I had no idea how hopeless you
were.
All
I'm trying to do is to basically tell Carl that there is no there are no marching orders for this other than to throw yourself at God on God's mercy.
We're supposed to seek God.
Yeah, because you can't, if you're going to church, you're just going to find other people there who are looking for answers and not. Not necessarily like to just stand around and wring our hands and say, oh, where are all the Pauls? We need some more Pauls around here. You're asking the wrong people. You've got to talk to God about that and say,
by the way, Carl, know. I'm not actually wringing my hands. If you're picturing that,
it looks a little sweaty.
I'm actually less nervous and anxious about this than she is, indicating, but go ahead.
You look a little. He's shifty eyes.
My eyes are darting back and forth, and I'm startled by the slightest movement in the room.
I'm asking what you expect others to do about that. What is this a thing that you want human help to fix, or is this a thing that is ultimately in God's court to fix?
Everything is ultimately in God's court,
okay,
and
then.
I know, and that's okay. All right, well, that's 45 minutes we just wasted. Talking about something that we can't have any control over.
Right. Well, I mean, why'd you bring it up then? If there's nothing.
This may be our last podcast. Why do we even do this? Why do we talk about anything?
I was asking you. You were the one who had something you seemed like you needed to say today. So you stood up and said it.
I'm not going to make that mistake anymore.
It's not my fault.
There's nothing I can talk about because I can't be 100% certain about anything.
I can't hear. Oh, yeah. There it is. I can hear it now.
Is that it?
So there you go, Carl. There's your marching orders. Go forth and just do whatever it takes to be more certain about stuff.
No, Carl, what you need to do is just get on your knees and ask God to magically pour into your brain a confidence that passes all understanding.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks for visiting the Comedian's House. If you want to spend more time with our family, you can follow John Branion on YouTube and Facebook. Also email nextdoor@johnbranion.com with your comments and questions. We'll see you next time.